We now turn to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, and we shall read verse 10. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the title I've given this morning is Praying the Prayer. Praying the Prayer. Well, the Bible encourages all to pray and praise the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 19 verse 1, the heaven declares the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalm 148:3, praise ye him, sun and moon, praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Both the animate and the inanimate things of the earth are called to praise the Lord. Praying is basically communicating with God. Communication, as you know, is one of the highest ability that human being possess. With this ability, we not only communicate with our fellow beings, but also with God, our Creator. We call this communication with God prayer. Now, when we meet a great and famous personality, we are at a loss as to how to communicate with that person. We fall short of words. We are nervous. We just don't know how to converse with that great person. If you are called to meet your Prime Minister or the Queen, we will be concerned as to what we will say, how we will say. We will be concerned as to what will please her and what will hurt her feelings. So we will choose our words very carefully. Imagine what will be our state when we come before the Lord, the Creator of the universe. When we really see him face to face, we will be found speechless, I'm sure. In fact, we will simply fall flat before him. Knowing our human inadequacies, the disciples said to their master, the Lord Jesus Christ, Master, teach us to pray. And the Son of God took this request very seriously, and he taught his disciples as to what to say once we are in God's presence. And we find this in the Lord's Prayer. But besides the Lord's Prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ also taught his people the way we must approach before the Lord and the attitude we must have while we are in his presence. This is what we are going to look at this morning. The Lord knows the heart of all the people. He knows how people come before him and pray to him. He was particularly interested in two types of people that come to talk to God. One set of people are those that trust in themselves. They believed that they are right with God, and having this attitude, they despise others. And so the Lord spoke this parable. Shall we read from verse 9? Verse 9 of Luke chapter 18. And he, that is Jesus, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So we can clearly see that the one that went being justified, one that was doing the right thing and pleased God, was the publican, which means the sinner. This man believed that he is a sinner, and he believed that he was nothing, that God was everything. In this parable, the Lord clearly shows that prayer is not an exercise to boost my image before God and before men. The Lord clearly taught that prayer or prayer meeting is a place to come and humble ourselves before the Lord. Prayer is not an exercise to show how much I know about the situation in the world and to advise the people gathered as to what we must do, how we must do. Prayer meeting is not an advisory board meeting. Prayer meeting must become a prayer in God's name addressed to the attendants. Dear friends, what answers can we get from God if we are going to advise others and if we show God that we already know the solution? Prayer meeting is not a place to expound the Word of God and analyze society. It is not a time and place to analyze the society to the extent that more time is taken by analyzing than actually asking, actually pleading, actually crying to the Lord to hear our prayer. Prayer is not about giving account in details of how it happened, when it happened, and why it happened. If there is one place we can come to humble ourselves, humble our tongue, humble our thoughts, humble our flesh, humble our intellect, it is when we come to pray before the Lord, both personal prayer and at public prayer meeting. At the place of prayer, which is a throne of grace, at prayer meetings, the king becomes a beggar. The mighty man become impotent. The wise become ignorant. We know not how to pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And the good and righteous becomes a miserable sinner. The worthy becomes worthless. Masters become slaves. Intellectuals become simple. That's what happens when we come before the Lord. Therefore the Lord says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 and 15, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and then will I forgive their sin, and then will heal their land. Then he says, now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. The eyes of God opens to humble prayer, and the ears of the Lord become attentive to humble requests, to the pleading prayer, and to the begging cry. Humility and prayer goes together. If my people will humble themselves and pray, humble themselves and seek my face, humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then the Lord will hear from heaven and will forgive sins and heal and answer prayer. At prayer, before the throne of grace and mercy, the I dies. It must die. The horn of self is rooted out. It is turned to ashes. God becomes everything. Everything. There must be no trace of I exalting myself. I should not come forth. The I should not come forth from my lips while I am before the Lord. Before the Lord, I must be lost in His glory, crying for mercy and help. Lord, if you don't reach out your hand and help me, I perish. I perish. You know, just as preaching is not about stage performance, neither is prayer a performance. Am I performing? Or am I lost in my crying and pleading? Am I seeking to show how intelligent I am? Or how well I can analyze society and see their failures and bring them before the Lord? Or is my soul filled with compassion for their salvation? In order that we put a check on this attitude, the Lord tells us about these two men. Two men went to pray, says the Lord, one depending on his own strength, the other depending entirely on the Lord, one despising the other, and the other only seeing his miserable self and the glorious, compassionate God. There is then one a publican and the other a Pharisee. The Pharisee is a very religious person. He believes he knows everything about God. He believes that he is a good person and very righteous. The publican, on the other hand, simply knows that he is a sinner. He is in total need of God, his creator, and comes before the Lord and humbles himself. Jesus spoke this parable specifically to people who come before God to pray, but actually they trust in themselves and believe that they are righteous, that they are righteous, that they are able to do things with their own strength. This parable is also told to people that despise others. So straight away, this parable ask us to search our soul. We must search our souls. This goes to show that everyone praying is not praying right. There is some selfish motive in prayer, and we must search. We must search it out. Everyone praying is not praying to God, but is directed to tell others about themselves. We must search. Jesus is speaking about two men praying. Two men praying. One is not praying right, and the other is praying right. Which one am I? Which one am I? If you and I have never asked this question, then let us ask this question today. Let us ask this question today. Look, we are praying people. We are praying people. And many children of God feel that the amount of time we spend in prayer is not enough. We love to pray. And that is very good. It's a very healthy spiritual sign. Since we sincerely desire to spend more time in prayer before God, it is so very important to know how we pray. It is so very important to know if you are praying the prayer that is pleasing to the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ takes much care to make it plain for us as to how to make our prayer right before God. Jesus reveals the two types of men praying because such prayers are prayed by people. Jesus is not imagining it. It is actually happening. People are actually praying the way the Pharisees pray and the way the publican prays. God prefers that we pray like the publican. God prefers that we humble ourselves when we come to Him. It is nothing but humbling, seeking, urging, beseeching, crying, and using simple language that will make God open His eyes and will make Him pay attention to our prayer. We don't want to be on the wrong side, do we? The people of God are praying people. We love to pray. If obedience is the bloodline, for it gives life, prayer is oxygen that purifies and we invigorate our obedience. We want our prayer to be pure and genuine before the Lord. Hear how the Pharisees pray. Mark his statement, verse 11. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. You see, there is a prayer meeting going on in the temple. One is analyzing the other and telling God about himself. He is not praying. He is preaching. He is taking account, giving exposition and explanation about the world around him. Knowingly or unknowingly, we can come before the Lord like the Pharisee. He comes before the Lord not because he lacks something, not because he does not know and cannot achieve, but he comes because he wants to tell God that he is able. He knows how to do it all. And therefore he comes to show others that he is better. He comes so that he can point his finger to others and compare himself with others. And while praying, he looks at the lives of others. He enters into the hearts of others. He is busy not looking into his own heart, but into the heart of others. He is interested in what, how, and why they do and say. This man is come to pray. But what is he really doing? He is simply extending his normal way of life into a time of prayer. He is same before men and before God. Whether he is praying personally or whether he is before another person, his attitude and behavior is same. The attitude he has and the manner in which he speaks and relates to others, he brings that same attitude and behavior before the Lord in his prayer, before the throne of God. He thinks God is like men. His focus is not on God. His focus is on himself and on the other man who is also come to pray. He is actually not talking to God, but to the other person standing next to him. He is comparing himself to the man standing next to him. The posture is of prayer. The time is of prayer. The atmosphere is one of prayer. But the praying is not prayer. So he defiles the atmosphere of prayer. Now, King Manasseh was a very bad king. He did evil in the sight of God. God punished him by bringing the captains of the king of Assyria and was taken captive, bound with chains. And then the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 33 verse 12, and when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord, his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. He came to know that the Lord was his God. Oh, dear friends, when a person comes before the Lord God Almighty, he must know that he is God and not a man. Knowing God is a humiliating experience. Man must simply bow down before the Lord. Manasseh trusted in himself. He worshipped idols. He believed in himself. And the whole thrust of today's world is to believe in me. Believe in me. And the moment Manasseh humbled himself, he knew that the Lord Yahweh, the triune God, is the Lord. That he was not God, but the Lord is God. Humility and prayer goes together. What our attitude and behavior is, that will be our attitude and behavior in prayer. It's the same with worship. It's the same with worship. What you lust after, what you believe and desire, that is how you will organize your church worship. That is exactly how you will organize your church worship. That is how you will come dressed before the Lord to worship him. If showing your flesh to the world is more important to you, if showing your curves and your body is more important to you, then that is how you will come before the Lord God that you have made for yourself. So how you pray and how you worship the Lord will reflect the spiritual condition of your soul and my soul. How you pray and how you worship will reflect what respect we have for the most holy and righteous God. If the bulk of your life takes up in telling people what they should do and what they should not do, then you will probably sermonize your prayer. A prayer can turn into a lecture or an exposition. We got to be careful, dear friends, as to what is going on in our minds when we pray. We got to be careful as to what comes out of our mouth gate when we pray. And the Lord warns us about this. The Lord Jesus said that the publican, that is, the one that believed that he's a sinner, verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Brethren, just picture this man standing before the Lord. He is at prayer. He does not stand in a scholarly way. He does not stand with self-confidence. He stands far off. It shows that he is fully aware of where he is and in whose presence he is come. He does not even want to come close to the Lord. He's filled with awe and reverence. He does not even dare to look up. He is very conscious of God's presence. Without saying much, he seems to be knowing more about God's might, about God's holiness, and God's sovereignty. His very posture shows that he fears God. His very posture shows that he was aware of God's purity and righteousness. He did not make the awesome God his buddy. He did not bring God to his level. He is fully aware of his dust-like image, worm-like insignificance before the exalted Creator God. And the only words that he uttered was, Lord, Lord, be merciful unto me. Jesus says, that this man went home being justified. He was made right with God. God is pleased with him. Jesus says that God will exalt him. Now for a moment, take your mind to those gathered in many of the churches this morning. The atmosphere in many of those buildings is almost like having a disco party. It is like a nightclub joint. There are those psychedelic lights, loud music, hands swaying, heavy metal beats, hips gyrating, trance-like faces, no reverence, no real fear of God, no awe, no humbling. Where there is no humbling, there is exaltation. That is what the Pharisee was doing. He was exalting himself. But Jesus says that such a person will be abased, brought low. Jesus says, everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. Such a person will be brought low. Now you might say, how are they exalting themselves before God? By swaying and gyrating, playing loud music, putting psychedelic lights and so on. Well, the word exalt means to lift up on high. To lift up on high. It means to rise to honor, prosperity and happiness. Even if the word spoken does not match to the words of the Pharisee, the very sound, the atmosphere, the lights, the body movement is done with the view of attaining a heightened, happy feeling. Why do you need this otherwise? The Lord said that we should worship the Lord in spirit, in spirit and in truth. The world uses all these attachments and crutches to give them good feeling, to raise their mood, to raise their esteem, to raise their worth. There is a sense of, I can achieve this through music, sound system, lighting, color, swaying and jumping, and so on. There is no humbling, no awe, no reverence, no fear. In fact, there is no presence of God, but of self. There is no nearness to God by the presence of God. But a person is made to feel like being near to God through physical medium of music and sound and light staging, stage performing and color and perhaps even incense and smoke. And in such an atmosphere, there can only be preaching of prosperity. Prosperity is about exalting oneself. Will such prayer and attitude justify a person before God? It cannot. Yet we can slip into this kind of prayer and this kind of worship that is not pleasing to the Lord. Those that exalt themselves shall be humbled. Before we come to an end, let us take heed to the warning that the Lord has given us and the pattern that he has set for us to come and pray. When we come to pray, we humble ourselves before the Lord. Let no words proceed out of our mouth that might focus our attention and the attention of the people towards my eye. Let us be aware of the greatness of the Lord. He dwells in the unapproachable light. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Lord in all his glory. If we actually come in the presence of the Lord, we will simply fall before him. That is what we are going to do in heaven, isn't it? Fall before him, surrender ourselves to him with all humility, knowing his mighty presence. We will not have any life left in us. Such is his majesty and power. How wonderful it is to focus on the Lord and onto his word as we communicate with the Lord. Let us pray in His language. His language is His very own words. The Lord has been so good to lay down for us what He is pleased with. Let us please Him in all that we do. Shall we pray?